Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that definitely there is a word from the Lord for you. And we're looking forward to delivering that this morning. But before we do anything else, let us go ahead and get into our morning announcement. And we also need to do our morning prayer. For that, let's turn it over to Prophetess Crystal McQueen.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to our show. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. And join me for Prophetic Atmosphere every Thursday at 7 p.m. You can hear every broadcast that we have live at www.ctkr.org. As you are there visiting our website, we do pray that you will become a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, as well as a financial partner, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like information concerning our church, ministerial engagement, or you just need prayer, as you're on our website, go to the contact page, follow those instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Also want to let you know, the WOPD and Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Go there and like us. Give us your praise reports. Let us know how this broadcast is blessing your life. Amen and amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Blessed Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You are the God of all. We bless and magnify your name this morning. We lift you up. You said, if I be lifted up, that I will draw all men unto me. Father, we lift your name up this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus to give your name all glory and all honor and all praise. We thank you for this day that you have created. We are rejoicing and we are definitely glad in it. God, we thank you that you have given us another chance. We thank you for your protection. God, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you, God, for just being God all by yourself. Now, as we come before your throne this morning, we bow and humble ourselves at your grace. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. We ask that you would wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, make us whole. Wash us in your word. Cleanse us in your word. Cleanse us in your blood. In Jesus' name, make every crooked way straight. Put our feet on the right path, God. We ask in Jesus' name now, strengthen our core, strengthen our spirit, strengthen our hands, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds and our will. bills to do what you called us to do. We say yes, Lord, to your way. We say yes, Lord, to your will. Once again, put another yes in our spirit. You said if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. We're willing to be obedient, God. We bind the spirit right now of fear and intimidation. We bind the spirit, God, of disobedience to your purpose in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask now that as the man of God comes, that you would begin to pour out on him wisdom, pour out on him knowledge, speak through him as the oracle of God in Jesus' name. Let us hear your words to this morning, God. Let it change us. Let it shift us. Let it move us into the next dimension. Help us to realize the kingdom, that we have the king's domain in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we glorify you. We thank you and we praise you this day. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for the dynamic, awesome prayer. Listen, I'm so excited about what God is doing, and we've been studying and, you know, seeking the face of the Lord to know his will and his design and his purpose for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we go forward, the more that we're finding that there are those who simply have come up under the attack of the enemy, amen, trying to find the way, if you will, to truth and holiness, running into all kind of people who are using the gospel as a means for their personal wealth and everything else, and that it creates the problem, if you will, that those who will know the Lord have to come through those who are propagating a false sense of who he is. We must then take time to make sure that we're preaching and living and demonstrating a gospel that is above all else, integral. Amen. And take time to study and learn and know who you are and whose you are, because, you know, the enemy loves this. He loves to send deception in. You'll think you're looking at the right thing and find out that it does not have the character of God. And we have to make sure that we are building strong things. Amen. That is important. Now, this morning, we have, we were dealing with a few scriptures, and we looked and found that we're walking out miracles. Amen. This miracle that we're walking out, we can't become weary, if you will. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too often that people are in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a battle, and they forget that it is the Lord that called them into this way. If the Lord has called you into this way, then your satisfaction, your success is all tied up in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, this morning we want to go into the Word of God, and we want to really take apart a few things here. If you will, turn with me let's start off in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Simply says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen,
mm-hmm.
nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just, we'll stop there. Look at your neighbor and just say, God has something greater for me.
God has something greater for me.
Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God has something greater for me.
God has something greater for me.
It is a shame, if you will, in this day, time, this season, that people have taken time to really go out and try to create for themselves what they would consider to be a paradise or a way of living that will be so self-centered and so focused that they forget that they have to go through processing. And too often, what ends up happening is if you get something before time and you're not ready for it, you'll mess that thing up. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? And that's the whole thing, is that we go through different things so God can prepare us for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the best things in the world is the knowledge that God took time. Amen? And he designed a plan with your success in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then not only did he design it with your success in mind, he designed the support system around you. Amen?
Amen.
And what that means is that he didn't just tell you, go in and be successful. He equipped you to go and be successful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to Exodus, if you will. We're going to the third chapter. We see a familiar passage of scripture here. This is Moses then, as he's dealing with Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep and his flock. Amen. He's in the desert at Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And this is where he encounters the burning bush. Amen.
All right.
Let's read it from the second verse here. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst, amen, of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And I shared with you before this simple thing, and that is when God is doing something for you, a lot of times you're in the midst of a miracle when you recognize or realize that you need a miracle. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when he'll cause you to be in the presence of a miracle. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And in the presence of the miracle, amen, you'll find that he gives you instruction. We talked about Peter last week. The word that he got from Jesus was simple. It was come. And as I pointed out, as we were ministering that on our previous broadcast, the word was come with a period. Amen. In other words, there was nothing further that was needed other than the instruction of which way to move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that in the previous verses that he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. So he knew which direction he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He needed permission to go. And when he got the word come, period, at that point, he knew that he had instruction. He had resource. When he stepped down out of the ship, came down out of the ship, he began to walk on water, the water that should not hold him. He had the ability now, in the midst of the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, he begins then to do the same as Jesus is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that miracles, signs, and wonders are occurring throughout the body of Christ, not because we're walking around trying to show everybody that we're so special looking at us, but so that we can tell people, listen, God loves you so much that he is still working miracles. And
yes,
if you need to know that God still loves you, look at me today. I am a walking miracle. If it had been up to the devil, up to the enemy of my soul, if it had been up to Satan, amen, and all of his imps and demons, I wouldn't be here looking at you today. Mm-hmm. I would not be here in this state of mind, if you will. My life would be tore up upside down. But thank God for Jesus Christ. And thank God for the power of God. Praise be unto the Lord who gives us the victory. Amen?
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. So when we begin to look here, then we see that there's Moses is here and he's getting instruction. He's going to get instruction. But not only is he going to get instruction, he's going to get resource. Amen?
Amen.
Peter, when he heard the word come, he was able to walk on the water. That word come was the sustaining thing that kept him from sinking.
Mm-hmm.
His faith in that word is what caused the miracle to occur. Amen?
Amen.
How many times has the Lord spoke to you, and how much faith do you have in the word that the Lord spoke to you, that he is able to? I know it sounds a little rough. I know that we know the politically correct answer, but brothers and sisters, do you really believe at the level you need to believe that God can do exactly what he says? If God called you, do you believe that he's able to sustain you? Do you believe really when he called you that he knew that you didn't have a clue as to what you were doing? Yet and still the call did not rescind. He qualified the call.
Yeah.
Amen. Here Moses is here looking. And third verse says, then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And I hope you all get a sense of what's going on here. We begin to talk about, don't look now, I'm walking out a miracle. Mm-hmm. We need to show you how that miracle is still being applied today. Amen? Amen. Fourth verse, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Again, there is a call that goes out, but a call without a response is not productive. Amen?
Amen.
If Jesus came and said, listen, you know, I'm here. Don't worry about it. You know, don't be fearful. Be of good cheer. It is I. You know, at that point, all they have to do is say, thank you, Jesus, for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Peter spoke after he heard, amen,
amen,
and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come, amen.
Amen.
Here we see Moses come over, and when he gets close, the God called to him from the midst of the bush.
Yes.
And said, Moses, Moses. And before you can get to the end of what goes on here in this fourth verse, we see a response. And he said, here am I.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your neighbor and just say, have you answered the call?
Have you answered the call?
I know the little call, but have you answered the call?
Have you answered the call?
Huh? So if God is speaking to you and he's giving you a call, answer the call.
Jesus help.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Fifth verse. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals take your sandals off your feet. Thank you. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the Lord. And then he begins to tell him concerning what he needs him to do. Amen? He begins to go in and explain his assignment to him and what he's going to do. The Lord says, surely I've seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt,
yes,
and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll bring them up from that land to a good place, a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come up to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now. Isn't that interesting, that word come?
Yeah.
Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, here's the assignment, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I've shared this with you before. In this passage here, he begins to create every excuse of why he can't do it. Don't that sound like a lot of folk today? As soon as God begins to tell you that I want you to go over here and do this before he can give us the full assignment, we've already created in our mind the reasons why we can't do it and why somebody else needs to do it. Amen? And we're sitting here trying to have a discussion with God concerning his wisdom in the matter. Amen?
That's very true.
But listen, this is the thing. When he called you, you weren't prepared. But when he gets done with you, you'll be more than capable to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Let me share something else with you. When God called you, he called you because he knew that once he used you, you couldn't take the glory for yourself.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. So when he called you, he already knew your shortcomings. And despite your shortcomings, your inabilities, your insecurities, your lack of training, your lack of confidence in certain areas,
yeah,
God still called you to do a job that required confidence and security and faith. Amen. So when you use faith, your faith is not in yourself, because by your own admission, understanding your frailties and your shortcomings and your deficiencies, you know that if this thing is going to get done, it will have nothing to do with you. It has to be God.
Amen.
That's why he calls us. Yeah, you know you messed up last night. Some of you messed up this morning. Amen. A few minutes away from your last mess up, and yet still here's the Lord speaking to you. And you want to say, Lord, you know I got to get right with you so I can do what needs to be done. And the Lord says, listen, I'm going to work that out of you. While you focus on a process you're going to go through, or focus on an assignment, you're going to go through a process that is going to remove that from you. So stop worrying about that and get to the assignment, because going through and completing the assignment will work that out of you.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at some of this stuff that Moses said, because I want you all to recognize and realize that you're not special when it comes down to this. You ain't the only one, in other words. Huh?
Amen.
I tell the story a lot of how I got the call to ministry, and I ran. I mean, I ran like somebody lit my tail on fire. Amen. And if everything around me caught fire, like the foxes when they set the tails on fire and sent them out through the brush, all the brush caught fire. Amen. I was running with a purpose. Amen. So, but I ran because I already knew I just wanted to be a musician. Amen. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to be one of the greatest musicians, just out here playing, traveling, and doing whatever. I knew that I wasn't going to go secular, because I had peered over to the other side and saw a lot of tragedy and horror stories. So I decided that I was going to just do it for the Lord. Amen.
You were.
But yet and still the Lord called me, yeah, yet and still the Lord called me to minister. And I remember trying to have my Moses debate, amen, somebody needs to hear me. I'm trying to have my Moses debate with the Lord as to why he would call me and the wisdom of his call upon me, and how I don't feel that if he would take careful look and stock at me, why he would choose me. I mean, after all, who am I? And the thing is, you are a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I can't do nothing by myself without him. Amen? So let's look at what goes on with Moses, because I had my Moses argument with God. And I'm preaching to you now, which lets you know I lost the argument. Amen? Amen? And some of you need to recognize and realize the quicker that you get to the assignment, the quicker you can get down the road. Don't wait till you 60, 70, 80 years old talking about, Lord, I'm going to stop fighting now, when he told you to go around the world. You'll still be going around the world, but your strength to enjoy the assignment will be gone. Well, I was just afraid. I didn't know how I was going to do. That's not up to you. He's looking for a yes from you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, God is looking for a yes from you.
God is looking for a yes from you.
Come on, say it again. God is looking for a yes from you.
God is looking for a yes from you.
Amen. See, once he gets that yes from you, then he knows that you're ready for the next level. Amen. You can't go to school until you go through admissions, and admissions waits for you to pick your classes, or before you can pick your classes, you got to pay and go through all your testing, amen? They want to test your level of competency in different areas. They want to know how much you can, how much math you know, how much English, and can you understand the words that are written here and everything else. And you have to go through those things. And if you come up deficient in any area, amen, they send you through college prep courses or prerequisites in order for you to take certain courses at the college or the collegiate level, amen?
Amen.
So it is that you're not going to just say, I'm going to school and show up at class. You got to go in and prepare yourself to go to class, amen? You're not just going to show up at your assignment that God gave you. You got to go through the process. You got to go through some classes, in other words, so that you know what is expected of you and how to do what you need to do, because you're completing this assignment according to God's prerequisites, the way that he set it up, the perimeters that he put around the task, amen, is what is going to cause God to get the maximum amount of glory out of your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He don't leave room for you to get just a little bit off the side, you know, my little cut over here.
Right.
No, there's no your cut over here. If you give all the glory to God, got to make sure that men see you and that they honor you for your service to him. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's look at this. Moses, 11 verse. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? In other words, I'm nobody. Mm. You calling a nobody to go before Pharaoh? Huh? And the Lord simply said something to him in the 12th verse. Huh? He said, so he said, I certainly will be with you.
Yes.
And this shall be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
So now he tells them, listen, it's going to be a sign. You coming back to this here mountain. So at this point now, Moses is just not going to get the people.
Okay.
You see this? He's not going to wander aimlessly. He knows exactly where he's coming.
Right.
Because he's already been told to the land of Canaan. He already was told that you're coming back to this mountain. And the sign is you're going to come here and worship me.
Hmm.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Look what else it says. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, and isn't it interesting that he's saying, listen, I don't understand, you know, I'm going to go out here and tell people that you sent me, and if they don't believe me, what am I going to say? I'm going to prove that you really sent me.
Hmm?
Look at your neighbor and say, back in the day,
back in the day,
they used I am who I am.
They use I am who I am.
But today we use in the name of Jesus.
Today we use in the name of Jesus.
Huh? And you got to understand this. of the authority that you walk in, even as Moses is saying right here, when I show up, whose authority am I coming in? You're not walking out today, amen. You're not walking out your authority after your own name. It's not how big and bad you are. You know what? We got so many people trying to build themselves up. You have your business plan. You have your marketing. You have your advertising.
Right,
everyone's
right.
looking at you thinking that you're the biggest thing, and you go from 3 to 20 to 150 to 500 to 893 to 2,000 to 5,000 to 10,000, you know, give you this many years based on your marketing and everything. You should be at least about 12 to 20,000 in a number of this many years. And they built their churches and other stuff based on that model. Amen?
Amen.
So people are running around saying, oh, look at how successful they are based on what they've done. Listen, it doesn't take God to do marketing.
True.
Huh? Because we can take that same principle and apply it to secular things. Amen? There's a reason why lawyers and other businesses use billboards. It's because they work. Seeing your pastor's face up on a billboard doesn't mean that they're doing some great work. It means that they have a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It means that they're putting out their name. They're promoting themselves. Amen? So when people come over to see who is this that was up on a billboard. Not the presence of the Lord is here and the anointing of the Most High God was evident, and we come to see the burning bush, or we come to see the miracle, or we come to see the miracle signs and wonders. They're not coming for that. They're coming because they heard that you got this going on and you got that going on. They heard your marketing. But when they get there, do they hear more marketing, or do they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? A lot of times what they hear is a message that is feel good, it is self-help or empowering, or it is, what's the word I want to use, when people, life coaching, amen?
Mm.
They hear that with a little sprinkle of Jesus on it, but they don't hear Jesus with a little sprinkle of life coaching on it.
Right.
You understand? So we got the priority mixed up. We're going in the wrong authority. No wonder you're not successful in bringing the children of Israel out, because you're not preaching the gospel and authority that was given to you. In my name, Jesus said.
We're not
preaching in the name of Jesus anymore. We're preaching about ourselves and preaching what we want and preaching how we want it and what people need to see in us. And, you know, when I said this and when I said that and when I turned around and did this, and, you know, I show up and my entourage needs to be here waiting on me because, hey, after all, I have arrived. Listen, you can arrive as much as you want. But after all is said and done, if you're not doing the work that God gave you to do, if you're not doing the assignment that he created and called you to, you don't have anything to show the master.
Well, talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got a big church. We got this many people. That's wonderful. You got that many people. Thank your marketing team. Amen. Thank your, you see, we don't call it evangelism. We call it outreach and everything else. But true evangelists go preach to everybody, amen?
Yeah.
They don't go preach to people that they think can come in and give more at the church. They go out to the highways and the byways for real, amen? I don't know if you understand the fact that there are street evangelists who will preach on a corner and don't care who like them or who don't like them, who's looking at them, people coming by saying all kind of crazy stuff. They still cry loud and they spare not, because they understand that the evangelism that they're doing, true evangelism, is reaching souls with the gospel. Amen? Mm-hmm. They're not trying to get out there and let people hear them so that they can get a preaching engagement. Fly me in, Doc. I'm going to have my people talk to your people. We're going to get this together. No, no. We don't have, you know, people out there who are trying to on the street corner preach. We don't have them sending their multi-thousand-dollar contracts through emails and lawyers and publicists. And see, we got this all wrong. We learn how to do business, but we still don't know how to do kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Moses here recognized that he can't go on his own strength. And what he says here that is so powerful, what God says to him is, your authority means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I am the authority behind what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Amen. Moreover, 15th verse, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel. And the same assignment that he's talking to them, huh? He gives to them as well. You see this? Next couple of verses, while he's speaking, he begins to tell them, this is what we're doing. This
right.
is why you're going to do a call the elders, amen, 16th verse, Israel together, and tell them the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me saying, surely I have visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I will bring you up. So the assignment that God gives you, listen to this leadership, amen. When God gives you a focus or gives you a vision for the people, make sure that you disseminate the vision. Amen? You see that? Huh? So when people have questions as to where we're going or why we're going, you should be able to articulate, amen, what's going on. And if you keep following this all the way down, amen, he not only tells them how they're coming out,
mm-hmm.
he tells them how they're going to spoil them when they leave.
Yep.
Hmm? Huh? Because you got to understand that God is not going to send you out without resource.
Well, I thank you.
Huh? 22nd verse. Let's just read that. Amen. It says, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of those who dwell near her house. Notice she didn't go to those around her. Huh? Of her house or other Israelites. They're going to the Egyptians. Amen? Mm-hmm. Articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. Amen? Why? On your sons and your daughters. Because they're going to be the ones who walk into the promised land with a different mentality of the wealth and the benefit of serving God. Amen. It plays out through history as we look, because those who asked were the ones who died in the wilderness because of their disbelief in what God was doing, murmuring, complaining. Lord, what would happen if we weren't in the day, if we weren't in the days of grace?
Shall I please?
You understand what would happen here? Some of us wouldn't be here today because we're the biggest murmurers. We're the biggest complainers. Can't nobody do nothing. Ain't nobody got it right. Ain't nobody saved or right but us. You know, every time you talk to them, they're pointing out somebody else's deficiencies and flaws, but can't hardly see a mirror for their own. Huh? God is not pleased with that. God is trying to get us to come together as a body of Christ. Amen. So we can go and deal with the enemy. Amen. This last verse here, so shall you plunder the Egyptians. God's plan always includes your come up. Amen? Huh? Look at your neighbor and just share that with them. Remind them that God's plan always includes your come up.
God's plan always includes your come up.
Amen.
Amen.
When you recognize that, then you'll celebrate Jesus. Amen? Now, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. Let's go over here to Galatians. Amen. I want you to see something because as I was speaking And I said, from the very beginning, I said, God has some stuff for you. Amen. You see that? And if God has some stuff for you, you have to be ready for God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when we begin to look at this, we have to understand that, and you've heard me mention this before, amen, the thing is that we have to mature into those that are following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when they look at us, they can't see us. They need to see him.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Let's go to the twenty-first verse, Galatians 3:21. It says, "Is the law then against the promises of God?" Certainly not. I have a conversation, my wife would tell you, with a certain person, and we always talking about the law and the law being done away and everything in the law. Law this, law that. And it's like, there's a law, we can't, and the law is out the way. You can't even look at the law. The law don't exist. No. The law still exists. Amen. And for those of us who have been redeemed, we have a different perspective of the law. Amen. There's no right that they have to arrest me unless I commit a crime. You understand?
True.
So unless I commit a crime, the law has no bearing on my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I am a criminal, then the law has bearing on my freedom.
Right, right.
You see that? So when we are children of God, the law has no bearing on our freedom. But if I am unregenerated, I'm a sinner, I have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the law has a bearing on my life.
Right.
You see that?
I do.
Mm-hmm. So then when it says, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could give have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. So there are people who are walking around right now who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I feel I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. I try to do as best I can and love everybody. But right. You know, I don't know. I haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't know. Maybe I'm okay. I'm okay because, you know, I feel that I'm going to go to heaven because, after all, I'm a good person. Brothers and sisters, you're not going to hell because you're not going to make it into heaven because you were a good person. You're going to make it into heaven because you chose to make it into heaven.
That's very true.
In other words, If I'm going to make it, it's because I have set up in my heart and my mind that regardless of everything else, I have decided to follow Jesus. I still don't understand how people could disregard Christ, disregard God, don't want to hear nothing about him, do everything they can to stay away and don't want to be around. But when they die, they still believe that they're going to heaven. Why would you want to go someplace where all your life you have shunned, ran away from, huh? That doesn't make sense.
You got a point on that.
By the same token, no one's going to be in heaven that was forced to be there. Well, if the Lord wanted me to be saved, he wanted me, why didn't he just come down? Because he wants you to want to be there. You're not going to be in heaven under duress. Amen. Oh, well, you know, once I got here, it was okay. No. You make a decision today whether or not you want to go. And then you live your life to secure your heavenly residence. Amen? See, we got all of these different things out here that people are preaching and believing, and they're messing folk up. Because when you start talking about some of these Gnostic theologies, amen, and dysfunctional theological understandings, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
People are walking around believing that they can give their way out of hell.
True.
Believing that when I die, that there's not going to be no judgment when I die, just be in the grave. Okay, you keep believing that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible lets us know that the rich man, when he died, he closed his eyes, but when he opened them up in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Huh? Don't think for 1 minute that you're going to get past that. And, well, that's just something that people came up with. Well, Jesus, the Son of God, came up with that one because that's his parable.
All right, take it
away. But if he came up with it, he came up with it because he knew of a story. He knew of a place, amen. And he came so that we don't have to go there. Huh? He said, I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. So the goal in following Jesus is to go where Jesus is. And if he's going to prepare a place, which is in heaven, then that's where I'm going because I'm following him to the place where he is. But if you don't want to do, you don't want nothing to do with Jesus, you don't want nobody to preach to you, you don't want nobody to do nothing concerning that to you, then guess what? Don't think for 1 minute you're going to die and they're going to just come and drag you to heaven. Quite the opposite. Amen. Huh? See, the thing about the rich man is that he lived his life. Amen. And the Bible says while he was on earth, he lived and fared sumptuously. In other words, he had everything he wanted. And isn't it interesting? We go out and get our degrees and get our jobs and go out and we drive in the car. We're living in the house. We got the money. We have the wardrobe. We have the eye candy around us and everything. And we can't, for technology and other stuff, nobody can beat us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But then when it comes down to dedication to a righteous life and holy living, we become deficient. We act like we don't understand what that means or how that has any implications upon us. Amen? And while we're walking around trying to do that, God is still trying to woo us. You see that? He's trying to get us to see that if we will simply trust in him, amen, he'll bless us, he'll keep us. All of those things you seek after, according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, amen, 32nd verse, he already knows you have need of, and he's provided it. But 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Huh? And all these things will be added. So we got to learn now, then, instead of running after the stuff, we run after the stuff giver. Instead of running after this prophecy and that one and the other stuff, there are people I know who go to church in every revival trying to get a new prophetic word. But then they leave and go sleep with each other. So anything that you could have got from God, you cancel out because of your sinful lifestyle. Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Huh? So you coming in and you're sowing hypocrisy, saying that you love God, shouting all over the place. You the one on the microphone, on the instruments. You the ones leading the shout, playing the tambourine, all up and down the aisle. You doing it so well, and people are taking pictures and putting you on YouTube and Vine and social cam and everything else.
Yeah.
Huh? Sharing it all over social media. Here you go playing the tambourine. But then somebody turn around and say, you know what? She's supposed to be a well-known church, blah, 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 blah. Because wherever she played that tambourine, she got somebody. Huh? What about the guys who playing the tambourine? We're not even going to go there right now. Amen? See, you have to understand that you can't live a lifestyle that is against the law of God and get the blessings of God. We need to go back to Deuteronomy and look at the second reading of the law, which is what Deuteronomy means. Amen? And as he went through, he began to share with them, if you will this day, hearken unto the voice of the Lord and the words that I'm telling you, and follow these commandments and go not to the left or to the right, you bless shall ye be. Huh? and begins to tell them, but if you will not obey these commandments this day and not hearken to the voice of your Lord and follow after other gods, then cursed shall ye be. See, we like to read the first part of things because it's all the good stuff that we're going to get. But we don't read the small print, as we call it. And the enemy knows the small print just as well as we should. Amen? So when we turn around and it says, don't do this, and we in the middle of it celebrate, woo, God is about to do this, that, and other. I think one of the biggest ones, and I think I need to do a series really on covetousness.
I like that.
Because there's too many people walking around coveting, and covetousness is just not what somebody else has. It's all the stuff that you expecting and trying to get yourself. You can't hardly think for trying to get something for you. You're not focused on the kingdom assignment. You're so busy focused on you. And we violate the law of God. Amen. So look, let's get into this so we can finish this. Amen. Galatians 3:21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? No. According to Deuteronomy, when you follow the law of God, then you can get the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
But going against the law of God then puts you on the other side of that. Amen. Paul says, certainly not. For if the law, if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith, you hear this, in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe.
Yeah.
Huh? So as I believe, then I can receive. When my faith is not in me, but it's in Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, my faith is in Jesus.
My faith.
Come
is
on,
in
say
Jesus.
It again. Say it again. My faith is in Jesus.
My faith is in Jesus.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, before you had faith in him, we were kept under guard by the law. You see that? Mm-hmm. Kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It is that law, you see that? That is the thing that guides us and teaches us that we need Christ. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. You see that? For all our sons of God through faith, in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, how do we tie all of this in then? Well, we started this all by talking about but as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. When you love him, you'll put him on. You see that? And when you put him on, then the reason why your eyes couldn't see it, because you didn't have godly vision. You didn't have kingdom focus. Nor ears heard. That's because you wasn't listening to the Spirit. You were trying to listen to everything else. You see that? Nor entered into the heart of man. Your heart was towards what you wanted, what you were able to get. But after that, amen, when you fall in love with Jesus, you come into the things which God has prepared for you. You seek him out and you seek to please him, which means that you go towards the assignment, and going towards the assignment that he gives you and he's prepared for you, you go through the process to be successful at completing it. Amen? That's why where it says the things which God has prepared, he prepared it with the plan. You see that? For those who love him, we can go in the scripture and begin to look around and see that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, seated with Christ, amen. In Ephesians, the first chapter, amen. We can see that there are things there that belong to us, as long as we're focused on Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But again, in Christ. Where's my faith? In Christ. Where's my hope for glory? In Christ. Where's my hope of redemption? In Christ. My salvation is tied to my faith in Christ. Notice it's not in anything or anybody else. There are a lot of spiritual leaders that's going to have to answer to God for some of this stuff here. It is, as prophetess and I go around ministering to different ones, we keep running into people who have been hurt and decimated by people who were supposed to be Christians. Amen. Out doing any and everything but kingdom work. And people have become hurt, disenfranchised. Amen. And we got to get back to those things that God has called us to, those things that God has set for us. Amen. God wants to bless us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you.
God wants to bless you.
Okay. I mean, really, you got to understand, God really wants to bless you. Hmm? If you allow him, then eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the good things that God has in store for you. Let's focus on Jesus. Get to our assignment. Receive the blessing of our obedience to the will that he's given, to his will for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you. We bless you, Lord, because you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Amen. Amen. You loved us so much that despite us, you still blessed us. Help us now, then, to go forward and do the things that you called us to do. I know we are deficient in areas. I know that we have insecurities. I know when we look at our abilities and our resources, we don't see how it can be done. But help us to focus on you. Even as Peter walked out of the ship and walked to Jesus on the water, help us to walk do these miracles and keep pace so that we don't lag behind in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, Lord, for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest. Lord, this is a day and a time and a season where your power has to be demonstrated in the earth. They've seen all the tricks. They've seen all the smoke and mirrors and sleight of hand. They need genuine miracles. Let us be the vessels that you use. Healing, deliverance in the name of Jesus. Help us to get back to those things, Lord, that are instinctively Christian. So that we are not just a form of godliness, but we understand the power thereof. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who's not saved that they would pray these prayers, this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of your dear son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they can be strengthened, matured, and developed, and go on to do the work that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, my brothers and sisters, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. www.cckr.org.
Amen.
We are in the process of revamping the whole website. Amen. Thank God for one of our listeners, and they sent a message to Prophetess and said, "Is this website still active?" I think they said the last update was 2011 or something like that. And I was like, "Yeah, we're still active. We're still doing a lot, you know." But it was one of those things that caused us then to look forward and say, okay, well, maybe we need to update a couple of things and take care of a few things. There's been some additions to the body and some other things that we've done. But we want you to be a vision partner with us. We're looking at helping those ministries around the world that have asked for it, and we need your financial help. Standing with us as we help those who are in Pakistan and India and Kenya and Uganda and Nigeria. They need your financial support, and we need your help to do it. Definitely the work is there, but the resources come from those who love the assignment God has given them. I know that some of you won't go, and that's okay, but help us to help those who have gone and those who will go. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
A Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. We love you with the love of the Lord, and we bless the name of the Lord for you.